Wrestle Me Pete.
Wrestle Me Patreon Mark. How you doing, man?
Yeah, really good. Feeling great. Guys, you've got to see behind the, you know, the velvet curtain.
The bassoon.
See behind the massive ginger cat. We've just finished recording WrestleMania 27, which is one of the least enjoyable WrestleManias, I think, out of all. People are always like, WrestleMania 9 is the bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but WrestleMania 27 is A, worse, so, argument over, and B, much longer than fucking WrestleMania 9. WrestleMania 9, full of colourful characters.
Yes.
You know, from your childhood that you love.
Yeah, and a lot of them have really interesting stories about them taking drugs and dying, but these ones don't, because they're too clean living.
They're too clean living, they're not around long enough. I mean, I hate them. Right.
They make such intelligent choices to leave the industry.
How are we going to get chuckles and yucks out of that? Selfish big baby men.
Yeah, rubbish.
So welcome, this is a little bonus that we're giving you because we'd feel bad about charging for it because it is largely generated by you, the Patreon subscribers. So this is our new little side project called Wrestle Meets. I am hoping that we will do some little chats with some real life wrestlers.
Yeah.
But specifically, I don't want to talk about anything other than WrestleMania with them. So, for example, if we were to talk to Will Ospreay, the aerial assassin, who is currently in lockdown in his house. I believe it's in Essex. I believe he's, he's getting bored.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk to him about WrestleMania, about his early WrestleMania memories, about, you know, the best WrestleMania matches, things like that. He has never been in a WrestleMania, so it might seem weirdly disrespectful. I was thinking it'd be a bit like I sort of ring you up and go, hey, mate, I just wanted to do like a chat about radio with you.
Mm.
And you go, yeah, sure. And
radio
all
one.
Of my questions are about Classic
Grimmy.
FM.
You know?
So, Classic FM, who do you think was the best breakfast show? I don't know. Yeah, okay. So, what it originally started as well because we wanted to find out stories from people who'd listened to the podcast about the times they had met WWE or independent wrestlers, but specifically in Britain.
Yeah.
So we didn't really want like British wrestlers in Britain. We just want Americans who are in Britain.
Mm.
And the reason for that is Americans in Britain, even if you're like working and you're a wrestler and everything, it's a new culture. You're slightly on holiday and Britain is a lot smaller than you think it is. And so they end up doing stuff which in America would be good. You're doing a signing at a mall.
Mm.
You know, great, fantastic, you know. Over there, it would be the great American Liberty Mall, you know, that takes over, you know, it's got 8,000 car parking spaces. Here, it would be the Malting Centre in St Albans, which is one of those things which is basically four shop fronts and a glass canopy. So I'm fascinated with you know, if you have got any that you haven't thrown in yet, please do let us know. So James L, who is at Iowa Iron, he says, does it have to be in Britain? My friend helped Roderick Strong find water and rice cakes at a grocery store and said he was a super nice dude. Yes, James, it has to be Britain. I've just gone through it all.
Well, you can't go through it now, but I mean, I like the idea of a man just wanting water and rice cakes.
It's a good one, isn't it? The thing about it is...
That sounds like hoarding to me. That's the sort of thing you'd buy if you were hoarding.
It's a joyless life being a sportsman, isn't it?
It really
Nobody
is.
Nobody talks about this.
Rice and a fish cake.
I think about like Premiership footballers, and they have that thing of, especially now where they're saying, you know, politicians will stand up and say, isn't it time... You young rapscallions donated half of your salary.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're fucking picking on them. But the... I do. It's racism.
Yeah, racism.
and hatred of a working class culture.
Yeah.
And they have all been doing that. And I think about Premiership footballers. I think, what actually can you spend it on? Because if I had a load of money, I'd be like, hey, I'm going to go to a fancy restaurant and have a nice slap-up feed.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I can't do. I can't have any of the cream sauce.
They're not
Please
allowed...
put the butter on the side.
They're not allowed Sudafed. they're not allowed pseudoephedrine. So, like, the it's just cars.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, PlayStations are only 400 quid.
Yeah, exactly.
The best PlayStation is only 400
trainers.
Quid.
Trainers. You buy trainers because, you know, because no one's going to come up to you and say, you can't have trainers. You know?
And you get all your clothes free anyway.
Yeah.
People send you shit every day. Every fucking day.
You get paid all that money. But it's like fucking. It's sort of like Brewster's Millions, but there's a catch-22 in it. You
Hugely.
Go, we'll pay you all this money.
And you can't do anything that is going to in any way change your body.
Maybe I'll go on holiday. Yeah, not now, you won't.
No.
You got training at 6. What?
You got 2 weeks off in the summer.
Yeah, I'll buy myself
for
a fancy
20
car.
Years.
Great, good. Do you know where you can drive it to? You can drive it from your house to the training ground. Oh, right. Maybe later I'll go
a motorbike?
For a...
No. Fuck no. Your life insurance is worth the GDP of... Gore. I don't know.
I'll buy a house. Or where shall I look? Oh, I've literally got to live in one of those footballers' places because I just want a nice garden. And I can't live in the suburbs because there's not enough security. Yes. I need to live in a gated development because the sun are mental. Oh, fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Wow, wonderful. I feel for him. So when I saw, when you, like James is saying there, you know, my friend helped Roderick Strong find water and rice cakes at a grocery store. The two things he's buying, they're not like in a hard thing to find.
No.
But he's gone in there and they've gone, can I help you? And he's gone, I want water and rice cakes.
Sustenance. Yeah. I need sustenance.
I need basically what people in the past thought we'd be eating in the future. I need a grey mash, just a grey mash. And I want it to have 100% of everything, no more, no less.
In this lockdown, that's all I've been eating is rice cakes. Honestly, it is obscene how many rice cakes I've been panning through.
Do you know what I've started doing? If I get a pack of eggs, the next day I go out and I get Betty Crocker cake mix. So I get Liz to then make a cake. It's fucking brilliant. And it'll say one egg. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good use of our egg. Like wartime. We can have a whole cake out of an egg.
Egg efficiency. Don't think about the other ingredients.
I saw two people, a person the other day buying two boxes of eggs.
Great egg.
I shot him that fucking side, I think. Like a real old-fashioned her next door sort of thing. I looked at him and I thought, greedy bastard.
I came back from my holiday about 3 weeks ago and I hadn't bought toilet roll. I hadn't bought toilet roll until yesterday for about 2 months, right? Mm. I don't do a lot of poops. I'm fine, happy with that. But I did go into Tesco's and they had like a big 16-pack of toilet roll,
yeah,
which is great, but I did feel a bit greedy, even though my toilet roll consumption is tiny.
You know who I blame for this? Pokemon. It's a whole generation of this fucking got animal. You got to collect things. And it's all these fucking young people going in, buying all the shit. And I tell you who else it is, not just the young people, it's the old people.
The old
people. And the middle-aged people. And it's all people.
And
do you know who comes in that Venn diagram, Pete? Me. Yeah. I'm doing the same thing.
Bake a cake, Liz.
Do you know how many bags of... I got these dumpling mixes.
Right.
Because all you have to do is add water.
But you just...
They've got pre-suet.
Absolute...
Pre-suet.
Stodging it.
Oh, I am. Do you know what's nice? It's spring going into summer. And I'm having nothing but really heavy, stodgy meals.
Just to knock you out for a few hours.
I'm going
to
sleep through the whole of this lockdown. And then I'm going to get out and it's going to be... I'm going to open that door and I'm just going to crumble in the sun.
I'm going to pack my anus with soles and twigs. Like a bear. Just hibernate. Wingman619 has got in touch. Not in the UK. Oh, Wingman619.
What's wrong with everyone?
I never actually met anyone.
That is a good start. I'm one.
But I went to see the WWE in Abu Dhabi a few years ago. I stayed in the stadium pub for a few hours after. So sound very Abu Dhabi-ish. Then I wandered backstage. I found Triple H's private room. All he'd left was the card for the night and cashews. I aware this photo is shitproof. I don't know what
it's
means.
Shit proof.
Oh, shit proof. Oh, yeah. I thought it was like the
two
proof
words,
is
understood.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I look at that and I actually saw that Triple H thing. I know it's just like an A4 printout.
Yeah.
But I actually thought that's the sort of thing I'd like.
That's the thing you would take, wouldn't you? But you'd entirely. Think, I can't take that. They'd never be able to replace that.
They've all gone. And what's funny about it is to like most people, you just go, a lot of old shit. And to me, I look at it and I go, very valuable.
Yes.
Treasure.
That's like
there.
A set list.
Treasure.
That's like a signed set list.
I had for years a cigarette that Mark Lamar had given me.
Right.
And I had that in the box it was in. It was the last one. And he went, tell you what, mate. He said, help yourself. He was being a very nice at a comedy store thing. I was probably about 16, 17. And he'd used me for a bit of banter with the crowd.
Yeah.
And I'd handled it really well. And he liked it.
Yeah.
And so I didn't try and show off. I was just nice. So at the end, he was like, you know, how you doing? You know, what's going on? And he gave me that cigarette. And I kept it for years. Even though at the time and for many years after, I was a smoker.
Yeah.
And I had this one silk cut fag that it came with me on about four different house moves. And I'd sometimes run out of fags and not once did I ever think I'll smoke the Mark Lamar one. Because I was like, that is an important...
Isn't it like a once upon a time in Hollywood where he's got that LSD tip cigarette that he's saving?
Yeah. And but in the same way as I look at that, I just think, you know, that'd be exactly one of those things that maybe it's just me that would go, I will take out the printed thing, which WWE didn't bring with them. They would have said, can you print something out? Just Triple H.
Yeah.
For me, I'd have gone very valuable.
Well, very valuable. Guaranteed, there would have been two versions of that because whoever worked for the XL Center in Abu Dhabi, whatever it is, would have written Triple H T R I P L E. Guaranteed.
I guarantee there would have been three because the first one would have been T R I P E L. That's always the way, you know.
Yeah.
I think of all the treasure left behind and thrown away in the bin, Pete. I could have got wrist tape. From Fabulous Moolah's hair come out.
Sort of doing a lot of like radio work where I'd be interviewing people backstage at things and in their dressing rooms and in their stinky little potter cabins at festivals and stuff. Oh, it is so unattractive. It is such an unattractive job. I don't know why. Oh, the crazy shit that must have gone on backstage with Wolf Alice in 2015 in fucking Rockham Ring or something. In an unlovable fucking double porter cabin because they happen to be higher up the bill than, I don't fucking know, Gorky's. And they're just in this disgusting, and they've got a platter of fucking meats and a platter of fucking watermelon. Always watermelon. I remember when I was at university, I broke into the Queens of the Stone Age's dressing room long after they'd gone at the Birmingham Academy. And it was quite impressive because there was just quite a lot of food around. Mm. I stole a carton of a cranberry juice that somebody had clearly, oh, fucking, what's his name, been swigging out of that, the nudie bassist or something. It's just so unlovable. Life on the road for anyone is horrible. I hate it. I don't know why anyone would want to do it.
Do you remember like that Esquire journalist or GQ journalist, whoever it was, they interviewed Lady Gaga and they had a photo shoot that she did in a bath and they bottled some of the water.
Right.
And then they sold it and it went for like $1,500.
Yeah.
Again, that's like buying, you know, female superstar stuff. It's just some water. Yes, she's been in it, but if you think about it, she's been in the sea, haven't you?
Yeah.
You don't pay $1,500 for a bit of sea. But
you got some sea.
But I did look at that and I sort of go, that is pathetic. Mm. But if someone had gone, this is like Undertaker sat on this cushion after WrestleMania, I would go, I am interested.
Yeah, because it's a frame of reference, isn't it? It's what VR.
Yeah, this is fine. Should we actually get to one after 12 minutes? Let's get to one that actually meets the brief, shall we? This is from Ryan Dilks. He's on Twitter as Dilksy80. When I was 16, me and my friend saw Mark Henry at Liverpool Airport. We asked him for a picture. He said, I don't want to stop. And he carried on walking. He then sat outside his gate for 30 minutes, but we didn't have the courage to ask him again.
Oh, boo, Mark Henry.
Perfect.
Craig, our friend Craig, sent us a little, not digest, but a couple of shots from, I think it was like Secrets of the WWE roster.
Yeah,
it was like little stories.
It was a book that they put out, WWE Books, called Are We There Yet?
Yes.
And it was Road Tales by the Superstars. I think it came in about 2004.
Mm.
And that was very much at a point where they hadn't shaken off the Attitude Era.
Right, okay. Well, Mark Henry. I know every strip club in every city in America. When we're out on the road, I go to strip clubs in all the cities we travel to. You name a city, bam, I'll tell you the names of all the clubs there and what they're like. Atlanta, Georgia has the best strip clubs in America. There's no debate as far as I'm concerned. Big, tall, thick, athletic women that are just beautiful. And man, I like beautiful women. LA are some cool places too. They're where these three clubs I go to there, and they're the only places I visit when I'm in LA. I mean, pretty much everywhere. And like I said, Atlanta is the best. You hear a lot of people say that the clubs, it just goes on. Florida and Texas are the best. But the places there are weird to me. There are more, well, you could say they're not exactly on the upscale side. I will admit that Florida and Texas do have a couple of good ones, just not better than Atlanta. It's tough to compare them because you can't put every strip club in the same category. I think you can break them down to two different types, gentlemen's clubs and go-go bars. At gentlemen's clubs, you have people in suits working the door, and they'll seat you at a table, and the place is also a nice restaurant. You'll order a steak or a lobster. Imagine Mark Henry eating a lobster at a strip club and then having a woman gyrating on him.
And then sitting down 5 days later to write this little chapter where he sits there going, let me now discuss the difference in types of strip clubs. It's absolutely mental that this was published.
Mark Henry, as you can see from the way that he looks and the way that he carries himself, he's a bit of a neat freak. If I see dirty chairs or dusty countertops, I'm not going to sit there. Forget about getting something to eat in a place like that. I'm nervous to go in those type of places because I don't know what's taking place on some of those seats before me. I don't drink alcohol, so I'm not a regular bar guy. Mark Henry!
He just turns up at strip clubs, doesn't drink,
and eats.
Sees the women,
and eats.
And sort of goes, that's dirty over there.
He's like a Grecian kind of prince or something. He's like just this kind of like... But he doesn't drink alcohol. How has he got to that size without putting away a couple of pints?
Eats quite a lot of strippers.
He's not a regular bar guy. I'm not going to a bar just to stand around and drink all night.
It is amazing that they put that down in print and nobody said. I mean, it's just, it didn't come up when he was retiring and doing his Hall of Fame thing. You know, they always hint at this stuff. But then it's funny when it's been blatant. When it's just there in black and white. Henry writing about strip clubs.
Someone once told... That's his whole entry. There's nothing else. Yeah. Someone once told me that they thought it degraded women. But that's ridiculous. I'm admiring women at these gentlemen's clubs. A lot of time when I'm eating, I'll invite one of the women to sit with me at the table.
Oh, when I'm eating.
And I'll talk
so she
to
can
them.
Watch you eat.
Big fat Mark Henry.
Jesus Christ. The thing about that book as well, it's got a cover which is like Big Show and Rey Mysterio on a motorbike together. Both going,
wah! Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it looks quite friendly and charming. You know, does. The kids will be reading this.
Yeah, your 14-year-old thing. Mark Henry giving you a fucking tour of strip clubs in it. You don't want to go to the ones in Texas. You know, kid, listen to me. Atlanta, Georgia. The thickest women. While you're eating your lobster, ask one to come over. She'll sit there. They have to watch you eat. And that's free. They can't charge you for that. Don't drink either. They make all their money on the drinks. If you do the food, it's cost effective. It's breaking even.
Got one from GRW_84. My mate won a contest on S4C's Hano, which is like the one show, to meet Hulk Hogan on a promo tour before WrestleMania 9, I think that is. Got to go along, but because I wasn't the contest winner, I had to be off camera when they filmed, talking to Jimmy Hart. His voice was higher than mine, and I was it.
There's a nice photo, I think, that accompanies that.
All right.
Which is great.
Oh, holy moly. Oh, that's cool.
I mean, I'll tell you what.
That is so cool. The thing and about Hulk Hogan. Is prime
he,
now.
Absolutely. He looks iconic in that. When you've got a photo, so is he actually, he's doing his pythons, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's behind the kids, and he's got them to do it as well. And it's obviously like a British, you know, hotel room.
Yeah, it's
got some shitty, horrible 90s curtains. But Hogan looks like Hogan. He's just iconic looking.
He looks fantastic.
He looks great, doesn't
he? Well done.
And there's both kids there, which I absolutely love. I think it's really funny. Think how many thousands of those Hogan had taken every year, and he's still there looking absolutely
mega. Every kid looks like a hipster nowadays as well, around that era.
True. Those jumpers that you just can't get anymore, those mad sport sort of ones with all different patches on. Great.
A lot of time for that.
So I've got one here, which is from Greg Copeland, who is we just read one from Greg. I think he's Wingman 619. Guys, this is quite an old tweet, and I've been keeping it back because I want to do it as part of WrestleMeet.
Okay,
I'm talking successful vampires today, and I fully expected Gangrel to come up. He didn't. Granted, he wasn't a Twilight level vampire, but still. So has he never been at WrestleMania? And will you guys never cover Gangrel? Well, luckily, Gangrel is one of the people who some people have met. He seems to have had a period where he's in Britain.
We did cover Gangrel a bit on some WrestleMania.
We certainly talked about the Brood. Yeah, probably WrestleMemus, I think. This one is a post that came out in 2015, but one of the friends of this person sent it on to us.
Right.
This is from Ian Drew Dice Clay. He said, Gangrel usually does a tongue-out face when he gets his picture taken, but he couldn't when I met him because I happened to see him in Sunderland outside a petrol station at 10 o'clock at night and he was eating cheese and onion Walkers. So to save from getting a picture with a tongue full of chewed crisps, he did his best mean face instead. So my physical encounter with the vampire warrior was that he dribbled crisps on me as he was telling me his taxi was waiting. He dribbled them on my hand and everything. Really, really messy eater. Shoving them in by the handful as well. What struck me about the man from the Brood was how fucking massive he was. He didn't look that big on TV, but in person he dwarfed me and my mate. Not by a bit either. It was like he was 7 foot tall or something. Really big shoulders as well.
Every wrestler is just bigger than you could ever possibly imagine, I always think.
I will see you and raise you on that monstrous fib. So this is from Sam Rhodes, who is Lord Alf Guy 1988. Not the most exciting encounter story.
Okay.
But I met the game Triple H at work.
Oh.
And I found out that my build height in WWE would be 6'4". But in reality, I'm only 6 foot. And he is exactly the same height as Triple H.
He is, isn't he?
Sam adds, I am very worried for my build weight. I feel your worry and pain, Sam. The worst thing would be for me is if they went, do you know what? We love your little podcast so much that we are going to give you one match. And I would say, that is marvellous. It's going to be at WrestleMania. And it'd be the dark match. And they'd say, please welcome from Goulburn in Lancashire. I go, little in joke for everyone. They go, weighing 650 pounds. And I go, what? And they go, bring him out, bring him out. And they drag me out on the lead. They get me to the ring, and then someone come out and go, of course you're not having a match, you stupid idiot. And then I have to walk back while everyone boom.
And then I'm in. Kissing CM Punk in the middle. Mm. I'm having a lovely time.
I didn't think Miz could have a 5-star match, but Donaldson brought it to him. Revolution.
Jimmy Snooker has got in touch. Snooker.
Funny.
Hey, went to a toy shop opening in Tolworth, South London in 1990 when I was 8. They had Series 1 WWF Hasbros long before the major retailers had. The Genius was their guest. He was flogging his poetry book. I got him to sign a copy. When we left, he realised I didn't pay and I'd nicked his pen. So he just did a bit of shoplifting and stole... The Genius's pen.
I was listening to some wrestling themes recently. Mm. One of the things I came across, there's a guy who's put up some brilliant stuff, really sort of rare, just stuff that, I mean, God knows how many of these things were made, 100.
Yeah.
There's the Ballad of Bobo Brazil, which, I mean, that looks like there's like 5 copies in existence. And he's popped it up and he's done it really well. And he's done a huge number. Once you find it, it's worth typing the Ballad of Bobo Brazil, whoever put that up, follow their little playlist of wrestling themes.
Yeah.
But one of them has got some Leaping Lenny Poffo, who is the Genius.
Oh, right.
They've got some of his short-lived singles, including that one about Respect Your Policeman.
Yes.
Which is, it's a absolutely mesmerisingly strange CD.
Bloody hell.
CD, 7-inch single. more obsolete formats. James Morrison said, I met the Bushwhackers and they licked my forehead. I imagine Pete will be happy about that.
Yeah.
The Bushwhackers were one of those ones who would quite often come over as the sort of, you know, promotion for WWE doing a British show.
Right, okay.
They'd send over the Bushwhackers because they were good with the kids and they'd hope they'd get on SMTV or whatever and going live.
Yeah.
You used to see them around. People, yeah. You know, my mum would go, oh, I saw those people you like on you know, Pebble Mill this morning. She's like, oh, which ones? She'd go, I don't know, they just seemed horrible. You know?
Did they have sardines? Yeah.
Well, could you understand what they said? No. The Bushwhackers.
Hanging out with. They've probably got a house here. Yeah. They probably work in a bar in Clapham like a lot of the other Australians who come over. what do you want, mate?
I'll stick my foot in your ass. That was based on Bushwhacker Luke's cameo. I'll stick my foot in your ass. Craig McRoberts, he supplied a photograph. I've not included it on here, but he said, I met Kurt Angle in the child swap area of Transformers at Universal Studios Orlando.
Child swap area? What's that?
I think he means, I'm not sure child swap is the right word.
No.
But he means where you, like, where, either swap. You wait for your kids to finish or it's where you dump them off.
Oh.
But it's not a swap.
It's not.
It's not you don't a get swap.
One in, you don't get one in return.
Hey, look at this merch I've got. I've got Kurt Angle's child. Where's our one? There's a price.
Every man has. Johnny Allpress says, I met William Regal and got him to sign a copy of Phil Collins' No Jacket Required because of this picture. He took it very well. I've not got the picture, but it's very enjoyable.
The picture was one that William Regal put up of himself meeting Phil Collins. I don't know why it's such a funny photo, but it really is. Louis Parsons, who says, I met Bret Hart at a WCPW show. That is What Culture Pro Wrestling. Around. Very much competition for us. I'm going to say that. We are in a competition. I mean, they don't know.
What Culture are always nice about us, aren't they?
They're lovely about us, yeah. And occasionally when I...
When I
mention them in a dismissive way, I often get a tweet from like Michael Hamflett or something saying, if you want a fight, we will name that. And so I think it's absolutely delightful.
We're going to get hurt, Michael. You know it.
I met Bret Hart at a WCPW show. And just before, the guy before me in the line met Bret. He was clearly so nervous that he threw up all over the floor at Brett's feet.
Oh, no.
Brett looked at him like I imagine he'd look if he'd walked on mid-90s HBK in bed with his wife.
Oh, bless him. Oi. Hello to Pete Haynes. I happen to be staying in the same hotel as the Raw roster during a tour over here. I was using the lift when someone shouted to hold the door. I looked around to see Stone Cold running at me, holding a can of Foster's. He asked me where I lived. I said near Oxford. That was it.
Where do you live, son?
Oxford. Mm. Is there a right or wrong answer there?
Where do you live?
Sam, who is at Jonesy Arnie. We met Taz in Orlando when we went to watch WrestleMania 24. He joked about how much we stunk of vodka. We didn't argue.
Here's a good one from Disco 77. Met Takeshi Murashima whilst I was completely hammered at an event and had no idea who he was. I mumbled some rubbish to him and his friend, and then was quite shocked when an hour later he was in the ring wrestling.
They used very to enjoyable. Big thing that they'd say in wrestling is wrestlers must never look like the fans.
Yeah.
You know, the whole point is you're something special. They would. That's exactly that sort of, you know.
What's yep. he doing?
Oh, he's such a big star that guy was talking to him and didn't know we're going in the ring.
Are we allowed to get up there? Stop drinking.
This is, I love this, Josh. This is Josh Powell Jenks on Twitter. I witnessed Billy Gunn almost get run over by a car in the alley behind the Great Western Wetherspoons in Cardiff. I said, "Whoa, Billy Gunn." And he replied with, "Hey, man," and then got in the same car that nearly hit him. That's amazing.
Lucky Billy Gunn. Jack Hook says, I met Kevin Thorne, the vampire, while I was 15. When I was 15, he was doing a trip around a children's hospital handing out gifts. He gave me a Blue Meanie DVD and a signed picture of him and Gangrel looming over a busty woman.
Chris Arch, he says, I once got William Regal's autograph in Harry Ramsden's fish and chip restaurant in Blackpool. He wasn't happy that I didn't have a pen and he had to ask a waitress for one. He signed it on a napkin. I still have it.
Rabrops, hello Rabrops. Not in Britain, but... Oh, hey, steady. Rabrops says, not in Britain, but I once met Sergeant Slaughter in the mall. I greeted him and told him he was a big part of my childhood. That big jerk just grunted at me and walked off. It wasn't like he was incognito either. He's got a massive jaw and that WWE cap he was wearing.
This is a better one, as in it turns out better.
Right.
So it's quite nice that they're not all negative. People are it's all fine.
Yeah.
Paul Walker, who is at The Film Cat, I once walked past Macho Man in a London hotel reception area. Upon seeing me looking, he immediately puffed his chest out and grinned.
Aww.
That's wicked.
That's the thing about Macho Man. In every... I wish he just wasn't an aggressive man with his wife.
Yeah.
I wish he wasn't that kind of like... He didn't have that part to
mad
a story.
Streak.
That because every other part of him I find utterly charming.
Yeah, same here.
Ah, never mind. Joshua Fowler, who may also be a flawed man. We don't know.
Why did they single me out?
I met Marty Skull, and he's any the Skrullus tales on the Skrull.
The villain Marty Skull, he's right. Very much a new breed of wrestler,
is
so
he
he's
right?
Therefore very clean and very good. Formerly Party Marty.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. Not Party Marty, you're
not, No, not that one, no. There's parties and there's parties.
There's an over-party. There's been an over-partying. I mean overdose. I met my girl at a TNA show at Wembley during their Heady Hulkster days. I had press tickets and he was sat next to me. The year before, he'd suffered a nasty-looking injury at the same event. I brought that up and he moved seats swiftly. Joshua.
Breeny, so Stephen Breen 14 on Twitter. I met Bret Hart at a talk. He was sound as a pound. The thing that got me most was when we shook hands. His hands were the softest hands I've ever had the pleasure to have touched.
Oh, lovely.
It was the first thing I told the wife when I got home. Hashtag Wuhan coronavirus. It's worth saying, I've had these printed out for about a month.
I know.
So that's really ahead of the curve. Really funny.
Oh, dear. Got one
Dan
from...
Watkins, who is Daniel the W. on Twitter. I bumped into Robbie Brookside at Disneyland Paris once. He was headed to the breakfast buffet at the hotel. That's great. So I like the non-eventful ones are really funny.
Yeah.
Agamemnon, who is at RandomGuy616, said, I passed Dean Ambrose, as he was then, on an escalator once in a shopping centre that was attached to their hotel for a show in Leeds.
Nice.
Magic.
Love that. What have we got here? The name is... Sorry, apologies for this. It is Ashley Harrington. Hello, Ashley. MVP blocked me many years ago. He replied to a tweet and I think I called him Montel and he blocked me. Literally no malice, as I don't see the point in abuse on Twitter. LOL. Hashtag heartbroken. Not necessarily a meeting, but I mean, I guess...
I think that's actually one of the... That was actually something that sparked off some people saying, oh, I've had a run-in with MVP.
Right,
and that
okay.
was how
I
we got
see,
onto
right.
Wrestle Meet. So, I mean, you can be dismissive of it, Pete, but it's really the germ of everything we're doing.
Joshua Fowler says, no WWE, but I met Dixie Carter at a TNA event a few years back and she was hammered. Very sweet, though. Also at the event were such luminaries as the Beast from The Chase and some kid from Big Brother. Anyway, enough of my bragging.
Jason Smith, who is at Smegchenko. I once went to see Bret Hart at a book signing at the Metro Centre, but the queue was too long, so I left. Hashtag, the best there is, the best there was, the best meeting that will never will be. He actually typed it better than I said it.
Yeah. Please deliver the hilarity correctly. Chris Elliott, I once bumped into Sabu in a rock club toilet in Edinburgh after an ICW show. I was coming out the one cubicle, having left no loo roll, and we were the only ones in there. I've never been as scared as I was for those brief seconds. Admittedly, looking back at it now, it may not have been using the facilities for their original purpose, if you know what I mean. It's WrestleMania, of course you do. Hashtag WrestleMeets.
Let's have one more from me. I've got two, actually. Mark McKinley, who says, I worked as a redcoat in Butlins, where Daniel Bryan was doing the camp circuit as the American Dragon. I told him he looked just like Chris Martin from Coldplay when we were at the bar.
Ooh.
He walked off.
Tom Mimner, I think, is, when I was about eight, my sister worked for WHMS in North London, and Brett, the Hitman Hart, was doing a signing. As she was staffed, she managed to sneak me backstage, and I got to meet Brett, my hero, at the time, briefly. He said hello and then promptly asked me where the toilet was, as if I, an eight-year-old, would have known where the staff toilet was. He was clearly bursting for a piss. It was amongst the glitz and glamour of Wood Green Shopping Centre, of all places.
Oh, beautiful. Maverick Finn, who is James Finnis, he says, I'm not sure if this counts. I've read it. It really does. But I saw Diamond Dallas Page at Cineworld in Swindon. We were in the same screening of the Seth Rogen comedy, This Is The End. I didn't actually speak to him, though. But Diamond Dallas Page in Swindon. Magic.
Enjoyable.
Magic.
Go for another one, because I think I've got the finisher from Fess Hall.
Yeah, Fashion Worked, who is at Fashion Worked, who is actually he's a really, really great follower on Twitter.
Right.
He's a really good little Twitter worker. He properly works in London fashion.
Oh, right.
And so again, we're a broad church. You wouldn't necessarily expect the people who follow you to follow you. But his Twitter is just very, very, it's like treating fashion almost like wrestling. He said, I did a couple of Fashion Week shows that Lana was at, and I got to chat with her backstage. She's an absolutely lovely person, and she loves Andre and Dusty Rhodes.
Aww.
Really exciting.
Well, she'll love WrestleMania then.
Colin M, who's Col McGorrigan on Twitter, or Col McGorrian, sorry. Twitter handles, I'm never sure whether you should read them out or not, because by and large, you cannot say them correctly. It's just a nightmare. He says, I too once met MVP and Kelly Kelly. I had to escort them in a lift up to a signing they were doing. He was actually pretty sound. She didn't say a word.
Have you got any more? Do you want me to provide the finisher?
Yeah, so the finisher is actually not one that was sent to us. This is sent to Fesshole, and Fesshole is a very, very funny Twitter account, which is run by a chap I know.
Right.
And I was following this Fesshole, and this is exactly the sort of thing I thought, how would we end this beautiful load of reminiscences? And this is from Fesshole, which is an anonymous account where you confess to things in your life. When I was a lad, I had a Hulk Hogan stuffed toy about a foot big. It had a hole in it, and I used to fuck the shit out of it. Bye, everyone!
This was a Stakhanov production.